It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I didn't know that.
And that'll do it for the Astros on this Monday night. So the first night they wear the City Connect 2.0 uniforms, they manage just three hits offensively, drop the opener of this three-game series 7-2. The Giants improve to 3-1 on the season. The Astros even up at two games apiece.
Six-point game. Here comes Van Vliet. And good if it goes. It's over. The Lakers have won. And they go to 46-29. They've won 3 of 4.
All right, Kevin Harlan on the call on that last one. That was the end of the Lakers and Rockets game, a loss for the Rockets last night in L.A., 104-98. That first cut, obviously, Todd Kallas with Space City Home Network. The Astros lose 7-2 to the San Francisco Giants. Not as much fun last night as it was over the weekend if you're a Houstonian. We had the college team going to the Final Four, Astros taking 2 out of 3 from the Mets, Rockets just running the Suns. With KD and Devin Booker out there for most of the game,
yeah,
running them off the floor. Tougher night for the home teams last night. Which of those two losses sticks in your craw more, B. Scott? The Astros losing 1 of 162 to the Giants, or the Rockets losing 1 of 82 to the Lakers last night?
Yeah, because the only things that I liked about the games last night from the Astros side was the thing that Kallas mentioned there, which I don't know why we had to give a side swipe to the City Connect.
Yeah, why the City Connect jerseys a big loser in all this?
Yeah, man, I enjoyed watching them out there in the City Connects.
People at Academy and the team store are like, shh, no.
Yeah.
It's not the City Connect's fault.
Well, but also, they've already done some damage there. They start selling those bad boys immediately. Yeah. So enjoyed watching them in their City Connects.
Yep.
And then the other side... enjoyed hearing Kevin Harlan call a Rockets game. It just, something about it feels big. And, you know, we went a stretch there where the Rockets just weren't on national TV at all. You know, now that's changed a little bit over the last couple of years or so. But, you know, hearing Kevin Harlan call a Rockets game and it being, you know, at the former Staples Center, I have a tough time calling it crypto whatever the hell .com.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that felt big. I enjoyed that part of it. It was just the damn results that I didn't like in neither one of the games. But I was able to live more so with the Rockets result because it felt a little bit more like an anomaly, and they felt a little bit more competitive. I could see, and obviously, you know, you play a series. I could see that being a competitive series if it ever came down to it, if those two had to play.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Astros, I'm just like, well, look, man, when are you guys going to start hitting the baseball?
Yeah.
You know, I know it's only four games in, and we don't have to act like it's the end of the world. But if we're just going to take the four games at face value for what it is, having three extra base hits and only a total of 16 or 17 hits or so, whatever it's been, is not good.
That's not good. For me, the Rockets game was obviously the much better watch.
Yes.
The Astros game was just boring.
It was tough.
It was a tough watch. The result of the Rockets game, the totality of it, not just the final score, but how you arrive there, hurts more with the Rockets for me because, one, it's just a more significant game in the standings for them right now. You know, like you win that game, and your floor all of a sudden is probably the three seed.
Yeah.
Whereas right now the floor is probably the four. You know, it would take a big collapse to lose in the first round. And if I'm being honest, at least in the first round, the difference between the three and the four is probably not a major deal. You know, right now, if you were the four, you'd probably be facing maybe Memphis.
Yes, yeah. This is
three,
where
three facing Golden State.
Think about that, though. I mean, that's in and of itself is an interesting part of.
Who would you rather face?
I would rather face Memphis.
Yeah, exactly.
Which seems to be on the downward trend, whereas Golden State, and then there's that whole Golden State boogeyman issue.
Yeah.
I'd love to beat Golden State, but also I would probably fear Golden State more than I would fear Memphis.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, you can make arguments on either way on any of it, you know? But to me, to get the two and keep yourself out of that Denver, Lakers, Golden State, Memphis pool,
yeah,
if you will, you know, make sure your opponent is going to be the winner of the Clippers and that would be so much fun, too. Like, of all those teams. The playoffs. Seth and I actually did this segment last week, so I'm curious what you think, as long as we're talking about the Rockets. But anyway, just to put a bow on what I was saying, that you had an opportunity against Denver a week ago and against the Lakers last night to really put some distance between you and the pack when it came to being the two seed, and you couldn't. Now, those are the only two games that they lost over the last three or four weeks, so it's hard to get angry with the Rockets. They've won a bunch of games lately and put themselves in a really good position. But especially on a night where Luka and LeBron did not bring their A games.
Yep.
And you got victimized because you had a couple bench guys knocking down six threes apiece.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. That's less replicable than whatever defensive job the Rockets did on the stars of that team.
Right.
You can do that again.
Right.
I don't think these guys are going to go shooting 12 for 24 every night in the postseason or whenever if you play them down the road.
Yeah.
But to the question I wanted to ask you, who of all those teams they could play in the first round? Lakers, Nuggets, Grizzlies, Warriors, Clippers, Timberwolves. I think it's those six. I think those are the six.
Yep.
Who do you want to play for basketball reasons? Like, i.e., best chance to win a series? Who do you want to play for entertainment reasons?
Yeah.
Click reasons.
Yeah. So basketball reasons, it's got to be Memphis. Not only because they are the least proven out of the teams, like their best player is the one that has the most questions right now, somebody that can't stay healthy and has not been as good as his greatest in a few years now, in Ja Morant. And we know kind of the story there with what's happened with him, both kind of off the court and with his injury situation. So for basketball reasons, it's clearly Memphis. Give me the 4-5 with Memphis, or allow Memphis to drop to the sixth and give me the 3-6. Like, give me any kind of iteration of Rockets against Memphis with the home court advantage.
Okay.
Right? So give me that for basketball reasons. For clicks and entertainment purposes, man, it's got to be Golden State.
Golden State, huh?
It's got to be Golden State. I mean, just, and maybe there's a localized sort of bias there, because you could also argue, like, maybe even the Lakers, if they could fall far enough, or if the distance could be created enough, because that's where the buzz is. It's LeBron, it's Luka, so it's the game that you saw last night. You know, that's probably it. But I mean, we've got so much history with the Warriors, and they still got just enough of the remnants of the past there to feel good about hosting a series against them and even beating them.
Mine's neither of those. Those are good ones. Those are two and three for me. Mine's James Harden.
No, this makes it fun.
Mine's the Clippers, man.
I can get with that.
The circle of life this whole thing, this rebuild started the day that James Harden sat down at that desk. Hell, you were probably in that press conference.
Yeah, I was. Well, it was a Zoom.
But it was a Zoom. Yeah, yeah, the Zoom, because it was during COVID.
But I was in the Zoom.
You were in the Zoom.
I was in the Zoom.
Where James Harden just sat down and said, "We're not good enough," and he walks off.
Yeah.
And that was within 4 days of Deshaun asking for a trade.
Yeah.
Like, the parallels are crazy. I bring them up on the show all the time. People are probably getting sick of it, but I just think it's fascinating to me that the trajectory of the two teams, the Rockets and the Texans, took such a drastic turn with their star players requesting a trade within literally just days of each other. But the circle of life that would be for James Harden after being on two other teams in between.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been. Is James Harden's on his third team since leaving the Rockets. He bellyached his way out of the other two places, same way he did with the Rockets, that he would come back and play in a best of seven series. And if the Rockets finish as the two seed, if the standings hold the way they are now, they're going to play the winner of that 7-8 game.
Correct.
In the play-in. The winner of that game will be the seven seed. And as of right now, it would be Minnesota versus the Clippers.
Correct.
And the Clippers would host that game. And if they win, you get a best of seven series with James Harden on the other side. I want to feel what it's like to be directly on the other side of a James Harden collapse in an elimination game.
Yeah.
I've been on the James side of it before.
Yeah.
That sucks, because then you have to spend the whole offseason sticking up for the guy and bringing up a bunch of regular season stats as to why we love him so much. Ugh. That was horrible. That stunk. I want to be on the other side where we can point at him like Nelson on The Simpsons and go, ha-ha.
So here's the issue, because I think this would be great for the clicks and for the entertainment value, because you asked two different questions, right? For basketball reasons and for entertainment.
Yep.
Entertainment, 100%, and for all of the reasons that you just laid out. Here's the thing from the basketball standpoint. James Harden's Rockets, or the James Harden-led Rockets, didn't have Kawhi Leonard as his running mate. Now, Kawhi Leonard is difficult to trust because of the health and the knees and all of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But when he's right and when he's been playing, they're kind of scary. They are the team similar to the Rockets, I would say, but the Rockets have actually played their way up to a top seed.
I know what you're going
to
say.
But they are kind of the team that nobody really wants to play because they're a little scary, they're scrappy, and the Kawhi Leonard thing, right? He's the most easily forgettable superstar that there might be ever. And then he pops up and you're like, oh yeah, that's right, he's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And like, I don't really want that for the Rockets. Like, I'd rather honestly take my chance. I'd be rooting for Minnesota because I'd rather take my chances with Anthony Edwards and the downward spiral that's been Minnesota this year than I would with what's going on. And it has less to do with James Harden. I would like to see them beat James Harden. What I don't want to see is Kawhi Leonard and James Harden as the lower seeds come in here and beat the Rockets.
What's your hope with the Rockets in the postseason? Like, any team that's a two seed, like, you know, it feels like just if you blindly just talk about any particular NBA season and say, yeah, my team's the two seed in the Western Conference, then the response, just again, blindly, not knowing who the team is, you say, oh, well, you guys are a contender. You're one of the four best teams in basketball. You're the two seed in a two conference sport. And yet, this is very new. It's a very largely inexperienced, other than Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet. It's a bunch of guys who've never played in a playoff series before. So, I mean, just by where they're seated, it feels like a loser mentality for me to say this. But knowing who those other teams are that they're going to play in these best of seven and how much experience they have, if they win a playoff series and then whoever they play in the second round, they'll have home court there if they're the two seed as well.
Yep.
If that thing goes 6 or 7, I'm pretty happy with how this season went.
Yeah, if I'm honest with you, I'm already happy with it. So, like, at this point,
the playoffs are gravy for you.
And this sounds like maybe a loser's mentality, but I feel like it's already house money. Now, the expectation does have to change and adjust once they reveal themselves to be better than you thought they were. So that part of it is fine. Where I am now, what I'm hopeful for, I'm good with the way things are now. But what I'm hopeful for is that the Rockets are this year's version of last year's Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay.
What the Timberwolves did last year, I don't think anybody saw coming, how they dethroned the champions. And, of course, they end up losing to the Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals. But that was entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
And we left that season feeling like, hey, the Timberwolves are next. Now, obviously, we saw how this season has played out, and they've taken a step back. And I don't want the Rockets to do that next year. But if we're just isolating it to what I want things to look like this year, the way the T-Wolves took that step up, and even Anthony Edwards as a star kind of entered a different stratosphere, I want that for the Rockets as a team and for, you know, Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green as a combination. If they could even split the hype that Anthony Edwards got as an individual between the two of them as a pairing, and we're looking at them, we're not asking this question next year of who's their closer, who are their best players, what are they going to do when the game's on the line at the end, and we feel like we have a better answer to that question by the end of it, I'll be good with it.
I'm really encouraged with Jalen and how he's played over the last month or two. He always answers the bell. You know what I mean? Like, he loves to play. Yeah. He's never load managed or anything like
Iron
that.
Iron Man.
He plays hard. He's really embraced what Udoka is preaching. That's been really encouraging to me, because I know for a fact the franchise really wants him to be the guy. You know, like, they want him to be the guy. And he's shown some of those qualities. Now, can he do it in the postseason? Obviously is a huge, huge question.
John, even when he's not efficient like he was last night, he still has a handful of these plays where you're like, oh yeah, no, I see why you can't quit that guy.
Yeah.
Like he'll make a move, a drive. Even last night there was a pass. I think it was either to the men or there was a pass that he made that was like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't realize he had that in his bag earlier on in the game. And he had a team high in assists by halftime. And it's like, oh, he's not shooting the ball well, but he's doing other things. That's the thing about Jalen Green. He is now a little bit more than just a scorer. He's impacting the game in different ways.
Yeah, he is. No doubt. Man, he can finish, too. He can finish. Text messages. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Going back to the Oiler uniform conversation we were having, Jackass Vrabel dressing up in costume just to get fired was wonderful.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was kind of some BS, man. Amy Adams Strunk makes Mike Vrabel play at her little cosplay party with his Bum Phillips cowboy hat and his whole getup, and then she fires him 3 weeks later. That was bogus, man. I feel for Vrabel.
Yeah, that was kind of whack.
Yeah,
like even if he didn't get fired, it was whack. Then the fact that he gets fired on top of it is whack.
Yeah, the whole thing. Someone's saying that for Larry, Larry and Stafford was quoted in the article, and I was wondering, Brandon Scott and I were both wondering how they got in touch with Larry. And someone texts in, they probably just listened to his rants on 610 and just stuck the quote in there.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
But all the listening to 610.
Cite the show, please.
Yeah.
Come the on Athletic.
Now. Yeah.
All right. Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne. It's Payne and Pendergast on a Tuesday. D'Amico Ryans sat down with Texans All Access at the league meetings in West Palm Beach and was asked about the free agent acquisitions for the Texans and Christian Kirk, what he brings to the wide receiver room. We'll hear from the Texans head coach coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, these meetings are very cool. One, you have the chance to get all head coaches, all GMs in the same room, and you can talk about all the upcoming rule proposals. Just get a chance to interact with guys, kind of detach from ball a little bit. You see guys with their families, their wives, and you get to see them one time a year, just everyone relax. So very relaxing setting. Also, a business setting where we're handling different rules and rules changes, things like that, to improve the game of football.
All right, so that was D'Amico talking about what are you getting out of these NFL annual meetings. I didn't know guys brought their wives with them to that.
Me neither.
I thought that was maybe a little more of a chance to get down to West Palm Beach and hang out with the fellas.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Guys trip.
Yeah.
Guys trip.
Yeah.
But also, Palm Beach, you know, it's just an extra couple, could be an extra couples trip. You know what I mean?
Like, there you can,
you know, I've seen people do this. Hey, I'm going on the road. I'm going to take my wife with me and double up, you know, a work trip. Plus I get some brownie points with the wife for, you know, a work paid vacation.
Yeah. And you stay a few extra days on either side of it.
I can see it.
Yeah. I can see that too. D'Amico Ryans was also asked what it was like. Every year they take the picture of the 32 NFL head coaches and it becomes fodder for the internet.
Yeah.
Very fun. It's the same picture every year. 16 guys sitting in chairs. Behind them, 16 guys standing up. If you're trying to find the picture, D'Amico is off to the right, standing up crew, looking like he's ready to whoop ass on all 31 of the other guys in that picture. What was it like having your pick up there with all the other head coaches?
It makes me just take a moment to reflect. It's like,
man, this is a very special moment, right? To be here as one of 32 NFL head coaches is something I don't take for granted, something I'm very appreciative of. And also look at it as these are your guys' guys. Like, they just like to have fun. They're still joking with everyone, each other, having a lot of fun. So it's a surreal moment. I have to pinch myself sometimes to realize, man, you are NFL head coach. And just, it's a blessing to be in this position. And it's something I always never take for granted.
Yeah, see, D'Amico, that's why you're a better person than me. You're sitting back, taking it all in. I'm so happy to be here. I'm very lucky to be here. All of those things. God has blessed me. And I'm like looking at it like you could whoop his ass.
Yep.
You could whoop his ass. Everybody but Dan Campbell, I think pretty much you'd be the favorite over right now. And I think even that would be a pretty damn good fight.
Yeah. I mean, in most cases would take a linebacker over a tight end. Now, Dan Campbell just looks like a maniac.
Yeah.
Like he's
positionless.
He's positionless. And also Dan Campbell just seems like he would want the fight more. Like, we get D'Amico is swarmy and all of that, but D'Amico, I feel like, is just a little bit more chill to where at the end of it, he might just, all right, Dan, just go ahead, you know, forget this.
Yeah.
Whereas Dan would
want the kneecap off.
Yes, he would want to continue to fight got down to that.
Yeah.
Biting kneecaps.
Yeah. See, that's where I would hope D'Amico would, you know, maybe take like some metal knee pads down there, like underneath his sweats that Dan can't see, and he goes to bite the kneecap and three teeth come out.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then Dan's just like, I ain't need them teeth anyway.
Yeah,
I need those. Give me another kneecap.
I'm gonna gum your kneecap to death. Yeah. Yes. All right. So to actual football stuff. I love that picture every year, by the way. Here's D'Amico Ryans asked by Mark and John, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. This is from Texans All Access. How are you feeling about the free agent acquisitions that you've made?
Free agency has been, it's been busy. It's always busy. You're always trying to improve your team. We lost a lot of really good players from the previous year. So it's always hard trying to replenish your team, and you're trying to find that right fit. And it's always tough in free agency because sometimes you don't get a chance to actually meet with the guys. You just have to bank on, you know, someone having some prior knowledge of being with the guy or just watching the film and really liking what you see on the film and seeing that, man, I can see that transition. I can see that role for the player for our team. So free agency is hectic, but at the same time, I feel like we've made some really nice additions to our team. Guys who will come in and help improve our team. Guys will add competition to our team, and hopefully that competition just makes our entire team better.
Have they lost, at the beginning of that cut, it sounded like you said, we've lost some really good players. Have they lost any really good players in free agency? They traded Tunsil. I don't count that. Yeah. That's not free agency.
That's the one. That's the really good player that they've lost. Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, they lost. Okay, that's fair.
So there's one.
He's a really good. That's one. I mean, Eric Murray, I think they like Eric Murray more than the fan base likes Eric Murray because of the stigma of the how he arrived here with Bill O'Brien back in the day.
Yeah, and there's probably a balance in between the middle there of our lack of appreciation for what Eric Murray's value was to the team.
Yeah.
And maybe how much they like him. There's probably somewhere meeting in the middle of what the actual value. He is a decent football player.
I agree with you.
He's a decent football player. But that's not one that you would say, oh, man, we really lost a good player in free agency.
Free agency has largely been, I don't want to say it's been like a big nothing burger. I mean, there are guys who have left, and there are guys that have been brought in that are definitely intriguing. The most intriguing moves have been the trade for Christian Kirk. So some of it is how you couch it, right? Like, technically, that's a trade.
Kirk, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Trade.
Which is a trade. And then also would be the mass exodus of the offensive
of Tunsil. But as far as the guys that are conventional free agents they brought in, I mean, the only one I can think of that was more than a one-year deal was Tremont Smith. He signed a two-year deal for like $8 million. These are all low level, but they're depth pieces.
And then the 1 year deal that you guys talked about yesterday on this show, EJ Speed is probably a more noteworthy acquisition, I think, than Tremont Smith.
Right. And
I would say.
Yeah, I would say so too. Potentially more impactful.
Yeah.
I mean, how many starters do you think they signed in free agency? Sheldon Rankins, I think, has a chance to start for this team.
Sheldon Rankins, I think, will start for this team.
Okay.
Like, they've brought back like Mario Edwards doesn't count because he was an in-house free agent.
Yeah, I'm talking about outside free agents.
But I think that matters, though, because they have now brought back their two best interior defensive linemen of the past 2 years of the D'Amico Ryans era. Like, they've done the committee thing, but the two best of the two committees, they've brought those guys back now.
And Settle's still here. He was really good last year.
So Sheldon Rankins probably is their best free agent signing.
I think he'll start, although, you know, I know if Seth were here, he would say that the defensive line, it's not so much who's starting, it's a rotation.
But he'll probably
start. He's one of their top two guys. He'll start. I think Lakin Tomlinson is a starter for this team right now. You obviously think he's a starter because you think that the entire starting O-line is in the building currently.
Yes.
Pulling up the poll right now. Unless
I was trying to convince you that Titus Howard is going to be their left guard. But I'm not. I do think that it's more likely than not going to be Lakin Tomlinson.
Lakin Tomlinson. He can play right guard too, I suppose, if he needed to.
That's two.
I mean, as far as, like, C.J. Gardner-Johnson's going to start. Again, not a free agent. Christian Kirk's going to start at slot receiver. Not a free agent. As far as just, I guess we'll say, new starters, regardless of how they got in the building here.
Those are the ones, though.
Those are the ones, yeah. Maybe EJ Speed gets the nod over Henry Toa or Christian Harris, maybe?
Possible. That will make for interest in training camp fodder.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like, I feel like going into training camp last year, we had a good idea who the linebackers were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Henry Toa has an emergence of sorts.
Cam Robinson.
Cam
Robinson.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
The left tackle.
Yeah,
okay.
He's going to start.
Sorry, Cam.
He's going to start.
That's a $12 million. I know it's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
But they gave that guy $12 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'll say this. You know, like, the only position group where I feel like that we haven't mentioned them bringing in a starter because they've already got their starters, probably be tight end. Like, if they brought in one more. Like, Dalton Schultz wasn't great last year. We're counting on Dalton Schultz bouncing back and being what he was his first year here, right?
Yeah, and I know Seth has kind of downplayed this, but I'm going to still hope traffic in this space of maybe the new offensive coordinator being a former tight ends coach can have some sort of what Lopez calls pixie dust effect, you know, the Miko dust on defense.
Yes.
If there could be some version of that on offense with Nick Caley and his background as a tight ends coach. And look, I know he's not going to just be straight up coaching tight ends, and who knows how much that matters, but hopefully it matters a little bit.
Just little things,
because
man.
It was not. You did not feel like you had a $12 million tight end last year.
No.
At any point,
Zach Ertz was giving the Commanders however many catches he had last year. He signed a 1 year, $3.5 million deal. You weren't anywhere close to $12 million with Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Here's D'Amico Ryans on the wide receiver room talking about Christian Kirk. And others.
Starting with Christian, I was always very fond of Christian from his time in Arizona, like watching him play the right way. He plays hard. He plays relentless. He's a swarm player.
Yeah.
I've seen that up close and personal, make a lot of good plays. Berrios has that ability to return the football as a punt returner. Also can go out, play receiver in a slot position and get open. He's just a matter of him getting back healthy and staying healthy. And Watson, he's Mr. Consistent. Mm-hmm. He shows up. He makes tough catches. He plays fast, plays physical, just a consistent player, and hopefully he brings that to our team.
Okay.
That's the one we forgot, Sean. Braxton Berrios' girlfriend.
Alex Earl.
The one whose name I forget. There you go. Alex Earl. Is she TikTok, YouTube? Which one is
TikTok.
Her thing?
She's a huge TikToker. Yeah. Did not know she existed until Jesse Watt, across the hall, went ballistic on her Instagram stories the day that Braxton Berrios signed, in a good way.
Yeah, and I only know because I'm taking y'all's word for it.
Yeah.
Because I still have not done that much investigating. This is just not a world that I traffic in at all.
Man.
So,
Jesse's got dreams of going out with her for mimosas and things like that. Yeah.
So maybe not a starter because she doesn't play, but a star nonetheless.
Star for sure.
Maybe star free agent.
Bigger
acquisition.
Social media star than anybody on the team, probably.
Yeah. No. Like, seriously.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No. Yeah. Not even. Like, yeah. Literally, like 7 million TikTok followers for sure.
Man.
Do you want the results currently of the poll that I put up on your behalf earlier?
I am curious because I was wrong about the other polls.
Talking about the O-line.
Curious about this one.
Okay, I'm going to let you guess, but let me read how I phrased the question, okay? This comes from an earlier conversation that Brandon and I had on the show about the O-line. Pender poll, in response to a prediction Brandon Scott just made, I tagged you on it, is the Texans' starting offensive line for week one on the roster right now? Yeah. Those five guys on the roster right now.
And I have not voted in the poll, nor have I seen the results yet. Obviously, you guys know where I stand on it because that's the genesis of the poll.
You said yes. You think?
So I obviously think yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my early prediction was that most people would disagree, but we were starting to see on the text line that there was more agreement than we maybe anticipated.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm going to say that it's closer to an even split and that 55% think that the starting five offensive line is not on the roster. That 55% disagree with me.
You have the right side of the poll in terms of, like, no is winning right now.
Okay.
You only get a ding, though, if you get within 5% of the guess.
Okay.
So you're going to get a buzz. But you're on the right side this time. 76%.
Disagree
with okay. you. Yeah, 76% disagree with
they,
you.
They don't want it to be true.
Well, I think
they heart don't understand it.
If I had to guess, I would guess a vast majority of those are like, no, they're going to draft somebody, and that somebody is going to start because this is a real group of journeymen here. Who's their best offensive lineman?
Cam Robinson. Yeah,
who's a middle of the road guy who was not great in Minnesota last year. Yeah. Now some of that, we played a cut yesterday from Nate Tice, Mike Tice's son, who does a lot of good work for The Athletic.
Yeah.
And he's
at Yahoo now, I think.
Is he at Yahoo now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But did great work at The Athletic.
He was with The Athletic. Yeah, he may be with Yahoo now. So either way, kind of a throwaway comment within the context of the podcast he was doing, but perked our ears up because he mentioned Cam Robinson. He was using Cam Robinson as an example of a guy that when you get taught differently than you're used to being taught, it can really mess with your head.
Mm.
You know, and he gets traded from Jacksonville to Minnesota.
Right.
He gets to Minnesota, and they teach their O-linemen to do things differently.
Yeah.
And you get traded there in the middle of the season. Not a whole lot of time to work on your technique.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh, and they're bringing in two Minnesota guys then, from Cam Robinson and Ed Ingram.
I guess technically they are.
So,
yeah
we'll see.
Maybe
we'll
they
see
feel like their teachings here will...
Could be a reclamation project
maybe.
Type of thing.
Maybe.
Just to stay with your question, second best offensive lineman, probably Titus Howard. And no one knows what position he's going to play.
Right. No, it's...
So that's where we are.
Fascinating. Yep. All right, final segment coming up. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop. Signing Framber Valdez just became a whole lot harder yesterday. And Justin Verlander on his conversations. Are we done with Justin Verlander here in Houston? That's my big question. That and Framber and a whole lot more we will get to in the final segment coming up next. Stay there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. B. Scott, I've enjoyed myself. I just want you to know that.
Likewise,
it's been
my
a
friend.
Good show. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hey, real quick update on the rules changes that are being voted on today at the owners' meet or the league meetings in West Palm Beach. The NFL's kickoff proposal was separated into two votes today. We didn't touch on this one earlier because we ran out of time, but there are two elements to the new to the kickoff rule that are being voted on today, or that were voted on today. They voted and passed the football now being moved to the 35-yard line for a touchback. My prediction last year when they put this new rule in place and they said, well, we're going to move a touchback from the 25 to the 30 with the hope that that would be punitive enough for teams to want to
run a play,
drop it into the into the landing zone there and force the other team to return it. By the end of the year, a lot of teams are just booming it out of the end zone still. And until you move it out, until you move a touchback out far enough to where teams are like, okay, we need to have a kickoff return.
This is too much field position.
They're moving it to the 30. The touchback goes to the 35-yard line. So if you kick the ball out of the end zone, it comes out to the 35-yard line. That, I think we're going to see a ton more returns this year. 35-yard line, you're one chunk play away from a field goal. You know, like it's
you just don't want to, like, even in a, I don't care how even meaningful the game is, you don't, you're not trying to concede that much field position.
Right.
You know, 70, almost, you know, 70 yard, or what is it, just 60? Yeah, you don't want to concede that much field position on the first play of the game of the drive.
This is good for the Texans, I think. You know, look, if we're living in an NFL where there's going to be more returns, which means more coverage, they've had really good coverage units with Frank Ross. So I think this is a good thing. No vote at this time on the onside kick modification. They're tabling that until May. And what that was going to be was, as of right now, there's only certain, first of all, you have to announce when you're going to do an onside kick. And there's only certain instances and times in the game you were allowed to do it. The proposed rule was going to allow you to do it anytime you were trailing in a game. You got to notify the other team, hey, we're going to onside kick here. So there's that. And you have to be trailing. This is the big one, B. Scott. This is the big one. Tush push. You ready?
All right.
NFL owners have tabled the tush push conversation. No decision about its
tabled
future at this league meeting. What a bunch of...
tabled.
What, as Seth would say, what are you, yella?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they tabled it.
Or he'd say, go die.
Well,
what do you mean tabled it?
I wanted to vote. Die, everybody.
Yeah,
I wanted to vote on this show today. Go die for not giving me a vote.
You saw the reports, I'm assuming, that like the conversations and discussions around this, around the tush push, got heated over the weekend.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman, GM of the Eagles, who are sort of the, I mean, they're the caretaker of the tush push.
Of course.
Howie Roseman got into a very animated conversation with Sean McVay and Sean McDermott, the two Seans.
Yeah.
So so they decided to table it, I guess because they want to yell at each other again in May. Who knows?
Yeah, which is interesting because I could obviously the Bills tried to replicate this and failed dramatically.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Sean McVay strikes me. I don't know what their background is with the tush push, but he definitely strikes me as the type of coach that would be for the tush push if his team could pull it off or if he had the type of quarterback to execute it. Like, you're not doing the tush push with Matthew Stafford, more than likely, and that's probably not part of their identity, but Sean McVay seems like the coach that otherwise would support it. You know, that fiery kind of like personality thing that he's got going on?
It sounds like it's the opposite.
But only the opposite because of the results. He seems like he would be a tush push guy if he had tush push personnel.
I think, you know, here's the thing. I guess as a head coach, you never know. Next year could be your last year. So if you're voting on this about because of the makeup of how your team looks in 2025, I think it's kind of selfish. Like, yeah, you should be voting on the rules of, like, what you think is good for football. Like, yeah. What you think the best thing is for football, in my opinion.
Yeah, but...
Do I sound like a sucker?
A little bit. Because people
are going to vote in their own interests.
Yeah, because I say, obviously, you're a fan of a team, but these guys coach these teams. Yeah, he is thinking about...
And it could be their last year coaching, so yeah. They're thinking about what's making them best in 2025.
Yeah, and I know they restructured Stafford's contract and everything, but he's either going to be their quarterback for sure this year and possibly, you know, a swan song in 2026.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, that's probably as far ahead as he's looking.
Someone said Alex Earl, the girlfriend of Braxton Berrios, okay, on the text page. I don't know, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, says she makes $70,000 a week.
That's insane.
That's what's that? That's about $3 million, $3 million a year, something like that.
Yeah,
3.5, 3.6, something like that.
That
said, she's the breadwinner. They're both doing okay.
I don't understand the world though. Like, just how TikTok, YouTube, or anything. I know I'm the digital guy up here, and that's the space I traffic in. But $70,000 a week.
She moves a lot of product, apparently.
Yeah, it's just beyond. I don't even understand how even moving that much product gets you that. Like, it's far beyond me. Good for her though.
You know who's gonna make a lot of money? Framber Valdez in a year.
He is.
He just got a whole lot harder. If you're an Astros fan who's holding out hope that Framber Valdez is gonna come back to the Astros, I would say that maybe just close your ears for the next minute or so.
Yeah.
He ain't coming back.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, as John McClane would say, not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen.
Thank you, John. Garrett Crochet got 6 years, $170 million from the Red Sox yesterday. Garrett Crochet was a reliever in 2020 and 2021, had Tommy John surgery, missed 2022, came back as a reliever for the White Sox in 2023. 2024 was his first year as a starting pitcher, and it was excellent. He was really, really good. Gets traded to the Red Sox. They sign him to a 6-year, $170 million extension. That's, what, almost $30 million a year, $28 million a year, something like that. It's what Max Fried got, just for fewer years.
Right. Framber is going to laugh.
Framber has been the winningest pitcher in the American League in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
He has been as rock solid a starter as you can find in baseball the last 5 years. This guy pitched 1 year as a starter with the White Sox, and he got $28 million a year over 6 years. He's got opt-outs, got the whole thing, man. Framber just got a whole lot harder to sign.
Yeah, so, and the tough part about this is, like, this is about the deal that I feel like the Astros would love to sign Framber to. I feel like this is the deal that all of us would love to see him sign. But it's just outside of or not nearly what his market's going to be. Like, he's probably, I'm not going to say double, but he's going to get significantly more than that. If you're using that as any sort of barometer for what Framber Valdez might get in free agency, he is going to get significantly more than that. And the Astros have shown themselves not to have the sort of appetite to pay that type of deal.
Yeah, that's
so
amazing.
We can pretty much close the door on that.
Yeah, Crochet. 6 years, $170 million. He's younger than Framber. You know, he's still in his 20s. Framber's in his 30s. But one good year as a starter, and the Red Sox, here you go. Red Sox are spending bread, man.
Yeah.
Between that and Bregman.
And shaking things up in their own locker room or clubhouse to do so.
They're going to have to. They're paying Rafael Devers a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
Did you see Bregman's face plant yesterday?
Yeah.
Boy, the people that freeze framed it, it looks like he literally looks like he's jamming his face down into the dirt.
It's like
he's
like, what have I done?
Like he's trying
to lift the Astros.
Or like when Michael Scott found some wet cement and he stuck his face in the wet cement so he could have his face. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, man.
John Lopez and Reggie Atitula are here. Hello, gentlemen.
Howdy. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, terrific.
Man. So, note, Tush Push, tabled.
Tabled.
They tabled it.
Cowards. Mm-hmm.
They feel like arguing about it for another 2 months.
I don't feel good about this. That doesn't really affect the Texans too much, but I just feel it.
No, if CJ ever becomes a Tush Push guy.
It's weak.
I don't see
how
that.
How would the Texans go about Tush Pushing it? Because, I mean, it's not going to be CJ in there. You're not bringing in Davis Mills for that.
Question.
Like, who do you put up there to try and do the tush push.
Yeah.
Who's taking the ball from under center?
Snap yeah.
I don't feel great about either
Dari or Damian.
Can I mess around and put
what about Cade Stover?
Yeah, we're in the same place. That's
Cade
what I thought immediately.
Yeah.
He'd be willing.
Yeah.
I like Dari.
Cade works too. Cade's taller. So
yeah, Cade's just bigger and stronger.
That's what I mean. Give me the big, strong, and tall guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like all of those guys are sturdy, you know, running backs.
Tank would totally volunteer to do it.
I bet he would.
Yeah, but I don't think we want that.
That's probably the issue.
Yeah, 100%.
This little engine that could.
Yes. That's part of the problem.
100%.
He remind me of Chihuahua. All the heart, but little, hey, man, I need you to not worry about
that. Those are Rottweilers.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need you to worry about that one.
Not bad. So what's the question of the day today?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad that you asked it.
What's the greatest length you've gone to watch your squad? Like the craziest, greatest length.
Has
to do with the Cougars. Okay. I was talking to a dude yesterday.
He's come up with good questions, man.
He's in sales.
Saul Lopez.
He's in sales. He has to be on the floor at 8 a.m. Sunday.
You're talking to a
buddy of mine.
A buddy of yours, okay.
He's in boat sales, go figure.
Okay.
And he has to be on the floor at 8 a.m. Sunday. He and his three buddies are driving to San Antonio. Don't know where they're going to sleep, but they got tickets.
Okay.
And then driving back after the game.
Okay.
Just to watch the Cougs.
Okay.
They got in the building, upper level, $250 a seat.
Okay. I've got a couple of these, as you can imagine, from college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went
to school. It's usually college.
It's usually college because that's when you got the stamina and the willingness.
And the silliness.
And the silliness to do things that your lack of funds avail you to.
Yes.
So I have two. Both actually wind up in the same place. And by the way, you're listening to Crosstalk, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Mm-hmm. The first one was my freshman year at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Me and four buddies drove in a Honda Prelude through a snowstorm to watch Notre Dame play Penn State. It's 10 hours.
Ooh.
To Happy Valley. You've been to Happy Valley before?
I've been to Happy Valley.
Have either of you guys been there before?
You get stuck behind one of those carriages. And,
but it's out there and nowhere.
It's a lot like Foxborough. There's one way in and one way out, and there's traffic, and there was snow. It was a noon kick.
Oh.
We left on a whim on Friday night. Like, let's go. Let's do it. We didn't have tickets. We bought tickets, and it was negative wind chill.
Yeah.
It was in November.
Yeah.
Negative wind chill, metal bleachers. And they lost on a missed 2-point conversion by Tony Rice. That was number one.
How was the heat in the Prelude? Because I did not recall what the Prelude looked like, and I was like, that was a two-door, wasn't it?
Two-door.
Sure was.
Yeah. Two-door, and one of the guys was 6'5".
Yeah, I was like, who got bad seat?
All had bad seat. The best seat was the driver's seat.
Yeah.
The other one actually wound up at Penn State, but that was when my brother's first game he ever kicked at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
When he made the team off the soccer team in early November in 1991, I was training for my new job out of college in Santa Clara, California. And I called my brother up, and I knew he was trying out that day because Lou Holtz called up and said, hey, we need some kickers. We lost our kicker. Send some soccer players over. I called my brother up, and he said, I can't talk to you right now. I'm talking to Dad. I'm kicking off on Saturday at Penn State. So I'm like, oh man, I gotta go.
Yeah.
So I got a airline ticket from Santa Clara. Got done with my training on Friday. I still had to be there another 2 weeks, but I went.
Yeah.
I left on Friday. We had the weekends to ourselves. Flew to Cleveland. Drove from Cleveland to Happy Valley.
Oh, that's
again awful. In mid November.
Yeah.
Got there. Same thing. Got there like 45 minutes before kickoff. Now that time I had a ticket because my brother left me one at will call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But those are the same venue. Those are the extents I went to. Are those the type of stories you're looking for?
Those are exactly the types of stories.
Mine included a Honda. We drove my, you know, no longer with his wife, but then girlfriend was pregnant with our oldest child at the time. Drove the 94 Honda. Now, this is in 2010. So the Honda is 16 years old.
Yeah.
Does not run very well.
That's riding the prom at a Honda, though.
No, but
I've been told.
This Honda's in Toyotas.
This one did not have AC. None of that. And it's March. Shardy's pregnant, all of that.
Yeah.
And we are on our way to watch Sam Houston State play in the first round of the NCAA tournament against Baylor.
Oh, wow.
Of course, they get beat because it's Sam Houston State against Baylor. But we went all the way to New Orleans to watch Sam Houston State. That was the John Wall year, the first year that they were at Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
So we did get to watch John Wall and then beat up on their first round opponent and all of that. But, yeah, that was a –
that was a little bit more ambitious than it probably should have been.
That's
especially with her being big and pregnant.
But at least you were in New Orleans at that point.
We were in New Orleans.
So that, that is a little nice.
Poor pregnant person in New Orleans.
I don't know how the car made it, honestly, how we made it.
My
and
only
back.
Keys for ours at 1040 is a 1979 Datsun truck for four guys.
Four guys? Okay. Is that a four-seater or a two-seater
truck? It's a two-seater with a little bench that you sit sideways on in the back. It's like a half.
Oh, y'all had to lap up?
Yeah. So they were facing each other for 9 hours.
I ain't heard somebody say lap up in a minute. I'm going to be honest.
I don't want to face another guy for nine hours in any scenario.
Not 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Much less hours.
Do you have a good one you want to tease, Reggie? Or you got?
I mean, my tease will be y'all's was all physical.
Yeah.
Mine was somewhat mental.
Okay.
And the lengths that I went in order to watch my squad, but we'll talk about that when we get to the question.
All right, good deal, man.
Yeah. That's fun.
So get to San Antonio is the story.
Yeah. 3 hours. Yeah, when you hear the stories.
But you got to be on the floor at 8 a.m.
When you hear the story. Oh, they're coming back. Then what
he's got to. He's got to sell boats.
Okay. Is he going to go to the championship
don't
game?
Sell
if they make it?
He'll turn around and
turn
go.
Turn around and go to the championship game.
Yeah, if you in the boat sales store, I feel like you done made a decision.
Have you seen the
that
prices?
You're ready to. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're like, I'm in the market for a boat. The boat is pretty much sold.
Yeah, it's just which one you want.
You know what I mean? But you want to be the one on the floor.
Right.
Yeah
you want to collect that commission.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's going to pay for your championship game tickets.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, have a great show. I'm looking forward to this at 10:40.
Thank you.
This will be good. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the whole show.
Of
10:40 in particular. Mm-hmm. Crosstalk, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. That's what you just listened to. Mm-hmm. B. Scott, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. That was good stuff. All right, we are done. We are out of time. KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. That's what you're listening to.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.